player.
Supernatural.
Is anyone here? Can you please give us a sign?
Supernatural. Confessions.
This is Supernatural Confessions, episode 25. It's Timo with you, along once again with Supernatural Confessions founder, Eugene Tay. How are you doing tonight, Eugene?
I'm doing good. I'm hyped up, Tim. Halloween is around the corner. It's my favorite season of the year.
That's right. Halloween happens later this week, so I guess you could call this the Halloween episode. And the Western concept of Halloween doesn't exactly resonate with our Asian history here. It's still a time to celebrate spooky things, and tonight we're going to be covering a few places that you can go and get your kicks on if you're looking to be scared this Halloween. But before we actually get into that, Eugene, I know recently you actually went for a Halloween-related event, right?
Every year, without fail, I will go to USS Halloween Horror Night. Mm. Okay. This year, I tried something different. I was invited by Jonathan Lim, the creator of this. I wouldn't call it a Halloween trail or Halloween. It's a very tough word to pin on it, but a Halloween show called Cursed.
Okay. It's an interactive show, is it?
Yeah, it's an interactive show.
Just very quickly, without too many spoilers, can you tell us what the concept of it is? Is this like a tour? Do you get together in a group and then you role play? What is it?
Yeah, I got to be very careful here not to spoil it for you guys. I would say this is a live action role playing. Okay. You go there as audience, but you play the roles of someone who's going to be interacting with the actors in the story.
Okay.
And as the heroes of the story, you're supposed to do certain things. Mm. And while you are in that 1 hour storytelling session, doing things, that's where the horror hits you left and right. And at no point in time is there a break for you to, oh, I get scared now. And now it's like, I can take a breather, laugh and smile.
You can't give like a safe word or something and they're like, okay, you can go toilet now.
It's total immersion.
Wait, is there even toilet breaks not?
No, in that 1 hour, you are in the story. That's it.
Wow.
No breaks.
That probably is the scariest thing of all. Nowhere to pee, no time to relieve yourself.
Yeah, so Curse is actually designed for the real horror buff. Like, if you think horror is not for you, you might not enjoy Curse as much as I did.
Okay, so you really do come out of it shaking in fear.
I have not had any of such encounter before. In terms of haunted house trails.
Okay. And so from a creative standpoint, you're very impressed as well.
Oh my God, the storytelling, the creative direction, the acting is so immersive. The way the horror jumps out at you, or the horror is implemented in a story, it was brilliant.
Okay.
You got to be there because after you leave the place, and that's what some of us did with some of the friends that I brought with me, we started to dissect the shows. Like, how did that happen? Like, trying to figure things out. So that's the secondary fun of it. It's like trying to find how things work behind the scenes.
And of course, how big a group are we talking about that gets involved?
In the review team, we had 12 per group.
Right.
We've broken up at one part, so it's 6-6. But I felt it's too huge. 12 running around is too huge.
Okay, so you think it would be more immersive and scarier if it was a smaller group?
You know, when you watch movies, like even the zombie invasion, you have like a team of four or a team of six.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. But I understand when you're running a business, six compared to 12, you're halving your revenue.
Okay, as long as you're not that racial minority that gets killed first. You know, like in all these horror movies, there's always that one guy or one girl, right? Where the moment the show starts, you're like, okay, he or she's going to be the first to go. All right, so once again, go check out Cursed. And for a more detailed review, you can check out our official website or our official Facebook page as well. Okay, so before we actually proceed with tonight's episode, we need to get the formalities out of the way. Supernatural Confessions, once again, is
a platform for anyone out there who have ever had any supernatural encounter to come on up, confess your stories, and find like-minded people to, you know, surround themselves with. So ideally, if there's one address that you should remember with all the information up there, is www.supernaturalconfessions.com. Just go check it out. The start of the page, you'll find a post where you could enter your story, click submit, and we'll receive it. There's also our YouTube videos, our Instagram, our podcast, please. Guys, I know a lot of you are new convert fans for us, and you have texted us to say you love the podcast, you're big fans of the podcast, so please go and share this around, because we take so much effort to give our best to you guys. So you do us a lot of favor if you could just share this with your friend.
Most important reason, of course, is advertising is expensive, so word of mouth is best. Help us out, help us grow the podcast, but of course, more importantly, help us grow our network of supernatural enthusiasts, because obviously the network is where we get most of our content and our stories from as well. Okay, so the more people we have to draw stories from, the better it is, and the easier it is for us to share it with the masses. And by the way, speaking of sharing with the masses, the third installment of Tales After Twilight will be dropping this Thursday.
I got a friend who texted me and said that has became her nightly fix. She'll listen to the story before she sleeps. That Tales of Twilight is one of them.
And Tales After Twilight, of course, is just like a 7-minute, 8-minute thing with a collection of maybe 2 or 3 stories. Something you can tune in just before you go to bed for that extra pleasant dream experience. Okay. All right. And with that out of the way, let's proceed to the Halloween episode of Supernatural Confessions, the podcast. So we've got a few areas that we want to take you through here in Singapore. And of course, when Eugene and I were kind of thinking, all right, so there are so many places, you know, with such storied histories behind them. But the truth of the matter is, not all of them are accessible. You know, one of the most haunted places in Singapore would be, say, Old Changi Hospital, right?
Yeah. Istana would not. Old Changi Hospital, Brunei Hostel. These are legit haunted places, but it's closed to public.
Exactly. So if it's not accessible to you, what's the point of talking about it tonight? And I know there are a lot of Chihongs listening right now, and they're like, oh, you know, I wanna bring my girlfriend, right, somewhere scary, you know, so she will hold me tightly because she's going to be so scared. So hopefully this suits your needs as well.
I've got a confession, Tim. I used to do that when I was younger.
Of course you did, Eugene. That's not a surprising confession at all. All right, so which was your place of choice?
I brought her to Labrador Park. I remember she was like holding my hand and then holding onto my arm the whole night. And yeah, it was pleasant.
Is Labrador Park still open to the public?
Yeah, it's a park. It's a public park. You can walk there anytime you like. It's spooky, but I don't think it's one of the spookiest spots in Singapore if you're thinking about that. Halloween horror kit. But today's spots that we're going to share with you for the Halloween special, these are spots that have reputation of active haunting still.
Okay, yes. Well, the first place we're going to cover, I'm going to be very honest, I did a bit of research, couldn't find any haunted stories on it, but it's still a really weird, creepy place, and not many people know about it here in Singapore, and that is the mysterious well located over in Jurong, okay? So basically, there used to be a small village at the area between Jurong West Avenue 2 and the PIE, okay? Now, the small village isn't there anymore, but they used the well to collect water, and after the villagers were relocated, the village was torn down, but the well was left behind due to some strange reasons. Nobody knows, right? They never filled up the well. So where exactly is it? It's located deep within the forested area with strategically placed obstructions such as wide fences, a fallen lamppost, and fallen trees to prevent curious individuals from going in. Now here's where it gets a bit weird. Near the well, there are some concrete blocks scattered, and one of them has the Chinese characters of rape written on it. Okay, so there was actually one particular group of paranormal investigators that went down to check it out, and they determined that the well was maybe 1.5 to 2 meters. These days, though, the well can't actually be open. Last person to go there said there's a canvas netting placed over the opening with 3 huge concrete blocks placed over it. And of course, the creepy question is the covering to deter someone from going in or something from coming out?
Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah. So once again, I do have to say we haven't found any particularly haunted stories related to it, but it is a creepy place to check out, especially if you want to head over somewhere to the west this Halloween. Once again, this is an area between Jurong West Avenue 2 and the PIE. Try Googling it, and I think you might find it on Google Maps as well.
From Jurong, we bring you all the way to our next spot in the extreme Far East. Mm-hmm. Pasir Ris Park.
Ah, you are quite the champion now when it comes to Pasir Ris Park.
I live there. I jog past there every day, bro.
Now, Pasir Ris Park, it's funny you mentioned because it's one of those parks that has never been able to shake off its paranormal reputation, okay? And some weird-ass stories going around indicate that there's a woman in white in the area. Some people have seen her in the trees. Other people have heard her. Yeah, so Buontiana, right? That is the general consensus. In some instances, some people even report seeing a very large flying object swooping from tree to tree that gives out a high-pitched scream. Now, are these all signs of the Buontiana, or could it be some form of other entity?
That sounds very much like the Buontiana or the Langxie. In that case, the screaming low-flying bird-like thing.
Yeah.
Some people believe that that is actually the Langxie with the head turned backwards,
right,
flying and screaming.
Okay.
But when you take a glance and you look up, it looks like a bird.
Right. Okay. And of course, Langxie and the Buontiana, two very similar creatures that often get mistaken for each other. Okay.
Yeah.
When we do a special episode just on the Buontiana, also known as what do they call her? Chipon.
Chipon. Yeah.
We will elaborate further on that. Okay. But you know, Pasir Ris Park is known for its suicide tower. What is the history of the suicide tower?
Legend has it, a person, we do not know whether it's a guy or a girl, threw herself off the suicide tower and died at the spot. And over the years, different school kids would go up, people would just mysteriously get shoved off the top and they would die. That's the story there. We have actually conducted tours there ourselves.
Okay.
And we have found like evidence, temperature drop, like distinct temperature drop, EMF fluctuation. I know another particular group that did the putting flour on the floor.
What were they trying to find?
Get messages from the other side or find footprints. And there's a word, go, to ask them to leave the place.
Okay.
So that place has been well researched and documented by many paranormal groups.
Actually, just the walk to the suicide tower, because years ago I actually went on one of your tours, right? And just the walk along the swamp to get to the suicide tower is also heck of a creepy too.
Yes.
Yeah. And then once you reach the suicide tower, some of the stories that we've uncovered, one particular group said they heard people whispering their names, okay, as they were going up the stairs. They saw black cats staring at them from the tower steps. Here's one that's interesting. Reports of a flying head roaming around full of blood. One person said they had to resort to prayers to get it to disappear. Okay. And the next day, after checking out the suicide tower, one person in that group got a high fever. Now, this flying head roaming around, does that remind you of the Hantu Penanggal?
Yep, that's the one, the flying head with the entrails with blood dripping down. That's the Hantu Penanggal.
Okay, tell us more about this particular creature.
The legend of Hantu Penanggal is actually, she's mortal, she's human, but she's a spellcaster. And she soaked her body in vinegar and she could detach her head and fly around at night.
Now, why? This is, why would she do that?
Back in the kampung days, this was something that is very common for people to do, to fly over long distance to spy on other people. But they always need to go back to their body by daybreak. So you will not find a penanggal who's in the constant penanggal state floating around aimlessly.
Okay.
They need to survive on blood. And how they survive and sustain to power up their magic is they will try to drink the blood of newborn babies.
How do they do that? So they detach themselves from their bodies, fly through the air with their entrails hanging off.
And then hear the cries of newborn baby, and they'll fly into the house and drink the blood.
Like a vampire, they got fangs
like
and
vampire,
stuff.
Like a vampire, yeah. Well, in the pictures they show fangs, but the idea of vampire to me sometimes just kind of ruins the image for me. I think of vampires, I think of the Western Dracula type of vampire. But blood drinking demons, monsters type of creature. And the Penanggal legend is, some of the villagers believe in the Penanggal so much that through the generations, every time there's a childbirth in the kampung, they will hang pineapples on sticks outside the house, surround the house like a fence.
Why is this?
So when a Penanggal flies in, the entrails get caught in the thorny leaves of the pineapples.
So when you say entrails, you're talking about what? The intestines and all that?
Yep. Everything else in the body, the lung, the intestines, when The head flies out. She brings everything out with her.
Okay, so these entrails get caught. What happens? And the next day, people see just a head stuck to the pineapples.
It will hurt her. It will hurt the penanggal, and then she would fly away and not try to enter the house and kill the baby.
Oh, okay, okay. Interesting. Maybe you can just use food. If they don't like pineapples, then, you know, you should just cook a lot of udang nanas or something like that, right?
Yeah. So after the, you know, the baby is born, you can still reuse the pineapple for udang nanas.
Exactly. Allergic to pineapple. All right, so what do you think over at Pasir Ris Park? This thing that flies around, these reports of a creature, do you think it's a hunted penanggal or do you think it's a pontianak?
There's pontianak there and there's penanggal there.
Well, you think it's both?
I know pontianak sightings is very common there. Very, very common. Even back in my time as a student, cycling around the area, the story of pontianak is always very scary. But knowing and understanding how penanggal works,
right,
I really don't think that you would find a penanggal floating around the suicide tower area, because that's not the modus operandi for a penanggal.
Yeah, I remember one story. I believe you were the one who actually told me, you were E.T., when we were doing the tour, right? The first person to commit suicide at the suicide tower that actually gave it its name. The story is that when this person fell down, landed in a way that her head was actually detached from her body. And that's kind of what gave rise to this urban legend of a flying head.
Yes. So the death is for sure, but whether the head is detached because she jumped down at an odd angle, that's the part where I think it might be made up by urban legend.
So we know for sure at least one person has actually committed suicide there, right? Have there been other reports of suicides?
There have been other reports of people falling over, but not suicide.
Ah, okay. All right, so once again, a place to go hang out if you want to get your Halloween kicks, get all creeped out later on this week, okay?
Just want to give a shout out to the guys from Society of Paranormal Investigators who went on down on the 24th to investigate the suicide tower.
Right.
So this is what they said. Many creepy stories and the atmosphere was eerie, so I texted them. I said, ah, yes, that place is very active. Do you guys manage to capture any evidence? And they replied, few guys there sense something strong, oppressing feelings. The place is more creepy and eerie than last time.
Yeah, but it just draws a lot of ghost hunters there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so once again, Suicide Tower over at the very creepy Pasir Ris Park. Next area we cover, somewhere more central, Fort Canning, okay? Also known as Bukit Larangan or the Forbidden Hills. And for those tuning in that think Fort Canning, it's just a place where you can go for concerts. There is a lot more to the history as well, okay? Long before the British arrived, Fort Canning was a tomb, an area where the ancient rulers of Singapore were actually laid to rest, right? I'm talking about people like, you know, Sang Nila Utama, Parameswara, Iskandar Shah. Their bodies are said to still be resting at Fort Canning itself.
In fact, from the concert area, if you look downhill, the walls of the Fort Canning, the area where you're having a party,
right,
there are bones in the wall still.
Wow. Okay, so let's hope that the music is not that loud to wake the dead, okay? All right, let's see, what else? During the war, it was a base of military operations for both the British and the occupying Japanese forces. These days, it's very popular with joggers, okay? People who want to go there for picnics. Like Eugene mentioned, it used to be a Christian cemetery. Some joggers have reported the sensation of being watched, okay, when they pass by the older parts of the park, as well as that area which I was mentioning, Keramat Iskandar Shah. That's the shrine dedicated to the ancient rulers of Singapore. Where exactly is the shrine from the Fort Canning, say the concert area? How would you get to the shrine?
Shrine, I believe, is at the top of the hill. All the king's burial is all at the top of the hill.
But it's not like where the building itself is, right?
No. Further up. Yeah. Sanada Otama's tomb has not been found. That's why they said that he might be a legend and it's not a real person.
Oh, okay. All
that
right.
The whole Sanila Otama story was a metaphor.
It's only one way to find out. You got to go there late at night, call his name and see whether he replies, right? Have you heard of any particular stories regarding Fort Canning, though? Investigations?
We didn't really go there to investigate out of respect for the place. I personally believe hills have spirits, and a place like Bukit Larangan with its history, and a very brief history, Singapore is not that old. The chi, the essence or the energy of that place is still very strong. Right. Even if you have concerts, you have a very nice building, the spirits that walk that place at night is theirs. You don't want to go there and be disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
I've walked there myself. I hung out there myself. And it really feels like if you close your eyes and you try to meditate, the whole place is crowded with spirits. That's how I felt. And like what you said, joggers have gone there. People have, you know, spent nights there and are usually very respectful. And they have felt things but have not had any overt supernatural encounter.
Yeah. I will tell you one thing that is very weird about the whole Fort Canning area, okay? Especially, you know, because I've gone for a lot of concerts and events there as well. I've never felt the slightest breeze on that hill, despite the fact that it's all open air.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. The next time you ever go there for a concert or a party, all right, you know, you would think, oh, well, you know, it's really out there, really no surrounding buildings. Mm. It should be very cool. No, not a slight breeze at all. The air is so still. In fact, you don't believe me, for those who smoke, just light a cigarette, all right? I don't know if you're actually supposed to, but if you get a chance to light a cigarette there, just watch the smoke. It doesn't waver. It just goes straight up. Yeah, it is. It's just very weird. I don't know if it's just a coincidence that whenever I've gone to Fort Canning, it's just windless. Yeah.
I think for, you know, you talk about the Iskandar Shah tomb and Parameswara, right? I feel that they might be in that fenced up area where the reservoir is.
There's a reservoir up there.
Yeah, right. Oh. Right at the top, there's like either a water treatment plant or a reservoir catchment area. There's fenced up area. So it's probably in there.
All right, one more reason to go and check out Fort Canning this Halloween. I do have a story, though, to share about Fort Canning. Once upon a time, there was a girl and her aunt. They went to Fort Canning for a P. Ramlee nostalgia event. Wow, I haven't heard that name in a long time. P. Ramlee. So during intermission, they decided to go to the toilet. And in the toilet, there were already a few people inside. And then suddenly, while they're all queuing up, there was a blackout. And people were beginning to panic, but fortunately, a few minutes later, the lights came back on. Now, there was a row of stalls, but while everyone would go and come out of the stalls, there was one stall that just stayed locked for a very long time. So, suspecting that someone had fainted inside, they called out and they knocked on the door. Eventually, they got worried and they forced open the door. But there was no one in there, and it was empty. And some people actually swore that just before the blackout, they saw a little girl go inside that stall and she never came out. Now, the next person who went in that stall also said she felt goosebumps because there was a mirror inside. And while she was on the toilet, she saw a shadow in the mirror.
What? Why would anyone put mirror in the toilet? In a cubicle?
No idea. Maybe that's why you should never bring a mirror with you to the cubicle, out of fear of what you'll actually see.
Wow. I think all that is now gone. They have renovated the whole place. Speaking of mirrors, I just want you guys to take note. And when you go down to the parks next time, like Labrador, Pasir Ris, even Fort Canning, you realize that all the toilets have no mirrors.
Oh, why is that?
Mm.
So the girls can't stay too long to do their makeup, right? I bet this was the idea of some guy who was tired of waiting for his girlfriend to take a million years in the loo.
Or maybe they just want ghosts to be captured in the mirror and haunt these toilets.
What is the belief behind that?
Mirrors are like a gateway or a vessel for ghosts to hop in. Mm. And these toilets are usually in the middle of nowhere and they're quiet, right? So they don't want it to be haunted. That's my sense. And I remember the Labrador toilet when we were there, the one I mentioned at the start of this podcast. When we were walking out of the toilet, we heard the cubicle door slam. BAM!
Wow.
So, yeah. So, toilets are quite scary already. We hear a lot of ghost stories happening in toilets. So, I think removing the mirror aspect is just trying to nullify where the ghost can actually hang out.
All right. So, next time you're in Labrador Park, check out the toilets and see whether the mirrors are still gone, all right? And if you find one that has absolutely no mirrors, then you know that's the one Eugene was talking about, all right? All right, so next place, also somewhere in the east, Tampines, a hidden quarry somewhere there, bro.
That one I'm very familiar with. This quarry is right behind that sand reserve area. If you have ever driven by the Bartley Flyover, you would see that sand dune reserve area.
Mm-hmm.
Right as you're coming out of the Bartley Flyover, where Bedok Reservoir is on your right, then there's like a bunch of trees on your left as you take down the long road behind Tampines.
Are we talking about Tampines Quarry itself?
Yeah, it's called Tampines Quarry.
It is on Google Maps if you want to check it out. Just put it in and let Google Maps or Apple Maps direct you straight to it. And why exactly is that on our list of creepy places to check out this Halloween?
When we were talking about which are the places that we want to recommend to our listeners, I was trying to avoid places that you can already Google and find online everywhere else, right? And Tampines Quarry have not been covered by anybody else. So you're hearing it here for the very first time.
Okay.
And this was a place where I personally explored Ichi Backside.
How did you find out about this?
I used to stay at a condo right behind, facing that Tampines Quarry. Right? So I would go down and I would jog and I saw that, okay, there's a path in the forest. And, you know, I walked in, I would look at a quarry. It's a beautiful place by day. And then I walk and I walk and I walk and I found very strange things littered around the area. At first, they were like burnt ash, partial burn talisman, empty cans of Guinness stout. So my first thought was, okay, drunk people came here to do things. As I walked further into the clearing, I found trees with yellow cloth tied around them, idols with burnt faces, a parang step on the ground, nails on the tree. And these are clear signs that there was a ritual that was held here. And the kind of ritual that I identified was that people were putting their idols, their discarded idols here, the kumantongs, and releasing all these negative entities into the water or into this clearing, using their cloth and a string to bind the place so that spirits are trapped within that clearing.
Okay, so when you say releasing spirits there, they don't just like release and disappear. You're actually just trapping them into a particular area.
It's a very irresponsible thing to do, lah. You're just dumping your trash somewhere and hoping people don't find it.
Wow. Okay. Did you ever see anybody there, actually?
No, but I try. I wanted to snoop around and see who are the guys that would come here at night to do this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I saw unsavory characters going in, but when I tried to follow them and I gave them some distance because I didn't want to, you know, startle them, and I lost them. And it was really dark. So I say, you know what? No, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Well, they have found skulls of dogs and fish. A good thing you didn't follow them. The next skull there would have been yours. Yeah. All right. So we have covered four places already. Pretty quick. It's time to move on to our fifth and final place. And Punggol Beach actually is known to be a little bit of a pretty tragic place, isn't it?
Execution happened there during the Japanese occupation. People died along the Punggol Beach. The Punggol Jetty Point used to be an area where there was a very large makeshift altar. And that entire area, forested area behind, obviously now it's gone. That was where was the famous Gates of Hell used to be. Spiritual practitioners would go there to train themselves up against forces of entities just to see how well they can defend themselves against negative energy.
Is that area even still around?
No, that part of the Punggol Jetty Point where I've just talked about has been torn down and now it's an F&B establishment.
You're talking about Punggol Settlement, right?
Yes, yes, that's the one.
Yeah. Okay, so like Eugene mentioned, it does have a very dark past. And it was reported that on this beach alone, 400 Chinese civilians were gunned down, right? And the death toll is so high that people who fish still chance upon remains of bodies at the beach, okay? In 1988, people found parts of an arm, a leg, and a skull with golden teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, this one close to my heart, right? I was 18 years old. I was acting in the Ngee Ann Poly student film production. I was playing a character of this runaway boy, fought with my parents, ran out of my home, walked along this lonely stretch of road and got knocked down by a car. And the driver, seeing that there's no one around, dragged my body, all bloodied, into the forest area, which is near the jetty, and left my body there. So this was a particular scene where I was like drenched in blood, lying on the grass, looking to my right, away from the camera, into the darkness of the forest. And there I saw an old lady beckoning me.
What? Was she a cast member?
No, she's not a cast member. Standing between the trees and beckoning to me. She's a Malay lady with the tudong and everything. I remember she was hunched and she was just beckoning me to walk towards her.
How do you know she wasn't a real person?
First of all, that place is spooky dark, right? And you know, this is a Neon Poly production. It's like very lean. It's like maybe two cars, three cars for the entire whole short film. And old lady in Tudong standing in the forest, logic, you know, even if she's not a ghost, she must be crazy because it's dark.
Okay. Did anybody else see her?
That's the thing, right? Because the shoot was going on. So if anybody would have seen the old lady there in the shot of the camera, someone would have said, hey, there's a person there, get her out. But when I was closing my eyes, I could hear the directors and the producers were saying they can't get the camera to roll.
Oh, okay.
Equipments were malfunctioning. They cannot get anything to roll. So I opened my eyes, I prayed, I opened my eyes. Eventually, I was so scared because she did not disappear. You know, usually when you close your eyes and you pray, you open your eyes, and they're not there. She's there, right? She seems to be coming closer, moving forward, shifting, taking a few steps forward to come towards me.
Did you not call out to anybody around you to go, no, hey, who is that?
I did not.
Also because maybe you didn't want to acknowledge her presence.
Yes, that's the main thing. Like if you say it out loud, these spirits will know. And basically when you're young, you're told not to voice it out, keep it in your heart until the next day. So eventually I keep hearing, cannot work. I got up and I ran from my spot. Got up, I ran back to the crew. When I turn around, I don't see anything there. No one saw anything there. Okay. And I told the director, I said, you know, let's get out of here now. He was getting a bit pissed off because he was not getting his scene done. His equipment was not working. And then they say, okay, pack and roll out. And so we are packing. And I saw the cable guy, one of the grips guy, walking towards that spot. And I said, I shouted to him. I remember his name very clearly. Aaron, my spectacled guy. I said, Aaron, what are you doing? He's like, no, I'm looking for the cable. I said, the cable's not there. None of us were there. Then he seemed to like step out of his stupor. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Then he started running back. Okay. So after that, they went back home. We packed up. The mood was a bit off really. So I think I saw something. No one else saw anything, but the whole place really dampened the mood. We sat back, drove all the way out, very quiet. We tried to do the shoot again, another location. It worked out fine. And a few weeks later, I got a call from the sound guy who says, bro, you got to come and hear this, man. Remember the night when we tried to film, but we cannot film anything? But we captured sound. We want you to hear this. So he played the sound for us. And you can hear the director talking about, yeah, you know, the machine's not working well. There was like recorded on sound. So it's like, okay, that sounds like the wind. That doesn't sound like the wind. That sounds something's weird about it. When they play the sound backwards, because someone suggested, let's play the sound backwards. And this was in the late 90s, you know, when backmasking was quite the in thing. They heard chanting sound. And the Malay guy, the sound guy said, hey, that's the Muslim prayer chanting.
Wow.
So I was guessing that the entity thought I was dead and is trying to beckon me to join them.
On the other side.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I think two things. Person who did your makeup, very, very good. Great job. So convincing.
You know what's the problem with them? What? Because I remember they were trying to do budget makeup. So, they, you know, if you use the paint makeup, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
They actually got animal blood, like blood, so they could pour over me.
You let them pour chicken blood over you.
Brother, I'm a thespian, man. I suffer for my craft.
Yeah, I was going to say, that with the presence of whatever that was, probably just, you know, made your acting even more convincing as well. Wow, Eugene, such a great actor you are.
Yeah.
All right, so once again, this is at the Punggol Beach area. Currently, you will find the Punggol settlement there. So I guess if you are going on a date on Halloween, this would be a nice place where you get some food, get some drinks, and a little bit of a stretch of the beach to check out. Do you have anything else on Punggol?
Nope, that's it for Punggol from me personally, but I guess there's a lot of stories out there. And any one of you with your own stories, please do send it to us on our website, supernaturalconfessions.com. Let us know your own personal encounters of these areas.
Quick question though, all right. So we have given out 5 areas our listeners can check out this Halloween, open to the public. Mysterious Jurong Well, once again, between Jurong West Avenue 2 and the PIE. We talked about Pasir Ris Park, specifically the Suicide Tower. Tampines Quarry, all right, which you can find on Google Maps if you want. Fort Canning, known as Bukit Larangan. And we've also covered Punggol Beach as well, all right? Now, just based on your experience and maybe just a little bit of advice, supposing someone goes there and they see something they're not supposed to see. As someone who has done a lot of investigations and put yourself in a lot of these situations, what do you think they should do?
Straight away, take out your handphone, take a picture and upload it to us.
No, I'm serious, bro. I mean, as much as that would be great, you know, for their own personal safety, is there something, is there a tip that you would recommend?
If you go and check out all these places, have fun, spook yourself out, come back home, be smart about it, wash your feet. In fact, have a pail outside, put some lime slices in it, and wash your face, wash your hand, wash your feet before you step into the house. It's all fun and games, but you don't want to bring anything back home.
All right.
But if you are on a spot and you're actually seeing something already, there's very little I can tell you right now to save you. Just get out of that place.
All right. Two things I do want to mention. Number one, just try and be a bit respectful, lah, okay? When you go and check out these places, sure, it's fine to go and explore, but don't be taunting. And I know some people like to do that, especially if they're trying to impress the girl that they're with. They want to act like the big man. Just trying to be respectful. All right. Yeah. Number two, I think you were the one who told me this, either you or ET. When you go back to your house after that, walk in backwards. So you fool the spirit into not following you into your house.
That's a tip that I've heard from people as well. I'm not sure if it works. I have tried it sometimes. Mm. Better be safe than sorry, right?
All right. If you live in a condo, apartments, or something like that, flat, and you see your neighbors walking in backwards, I would probably suggest that you stay far away from them.
Yeah.
All right. And that wraps up the Halloween episode with our list of places you can check out this Halloween to get your creepy kicks off. Okay. Before we end tonight's episode, once again, a reminder to help us out. Share our podcast with all your friends. Help us to grow it, because it's only through word of mouth and your support that we can turn Supernatural Confessions into more than what it currently is.
And just one last announcement to make. On the 31st of October, 2019 this year, falls on Thursday, I'll be running a live AMA session at 9 p.m. So if you guys want to come online.
What is an AMA?
Ask me anything. I will answer anything.
Oh, but it has to be something supernatural related, la, not like ask you all sorts of other stuff.
Ideally, la, I mean, what do you like to eat? Chicken rice. Okay, moving on. Next, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, I will answer everything.
So this is going to be on Facebook?
Facebook.
Okay, so it's a Facebook live session, basically.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of which, go and check out our Facebook page. There is also a closed group as well. Just type in Supernatural Confessions on Facebook and you will find them. Our official website,
supernaturalconfessions.com.
All right. If you have any stories at all to share with us, we would love to discuss them. You will see a big form that starts off the page, says, you know, send us your supernatural confessions here. And yeah, all we need is your email address. Don't worry. We will keep your privacy and your anonymity in mind. And we will always wait for you to give us your complete consent before we release any of your stories. Okay. One more thing. This Thursday, another episode of Tales After Twilight will drop. Once again, for those who just want their creepy stories, all right, their chilling stories. And a reminder to send any of yours, all right, even if it didn't happen to you, happened to a friend of yours, something you've heard, maybe something you came across the internet, send me as well. And this way we can share it with the rest of our Supernatural Confessions fans, okay?
That's all.
Are we done, Eugene?
Yeah, we're good to go. I enjoyed this episode very much.
Oh, one more thing. If you actually go and check out this Halloween, any of those places that we mentioned tonight, do text us as well and tell us about your experience, okay?
Yeah, we want to know. I'm very curious to know how many of you guys are going to go to, you know, explore these places.
All right, so until our next episode, my name is Tim O.
I'm Eugene Tay, and you've been listening to
Supernatural Confessions.
Supernatural. Confessions.